February 17th, and I'm Teresa DeBacco for the Rock Voices Oral History Program. I'm here today with Tom Cobb. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, we're going to start off with a little biographical information, your full name, your date of birth, where you're from, just to get to know you a little better.
Okay, my name is Tom Cobb. I am originally from Illinois and moved out here in 1978, and I prefer to go by TC.
Wonderful. Do you want to tell us about the name TC?
Sure. When I first started teaching at Illinois Wesleyan University, I was the ripe old age of 22 years old, right out of grad school. And I was teaching at a university in the School of Drama. And John Wilson, who is now a Tony-winning scene designer in New York, came to me one afternoon after two or three weeks at school and said, "I'm speaking on behalf of the senior class. We have a bit of a concern." I said, "What's that?" And he said, "We can't call you Mr. Cobb because we're older than you." And I said, "Fine." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, we can't call you Tom. That's just not right. But would you mind TC? And I said, "Whatever works for you all." And that has been it for, 35 years. So, and it's comfortable for me.
Can you talk a little bit about your affiliation with SRU?
I came here in 1978, was hired by the Physical Education Department to teach dance within the PE curriculum. Robert Abersold, as in Abersold Recreation Center, was the department chair of physical education at the time. I interviewed here, met a lot of people. One of the last questions he asked me was, "Do you think we could have a dance department?" And I said it would probably take 10 years and a lot of work. And so I was offered the job. I took the job. When I came here, Bob had become the vice president of academic affairs, and Ann Griffiths had become department chair of physical education. And the dream came true 10 years later. In 1987, we opened the doors to the first and only Bachelor of Arts degree in dance in the state system of higher education. And so that was in 87. In 89, we became our own department, and 2001 merged with the College of Fine Arts. So that's sort of a summation of here. I've also worked in the theater department, where I've taught a class called Movement for the Actor, and then I'm currently choreographing cabaret with the theater department. So it's, you know, I've done some work with the music department, so it's been a wonderful, wonderful job.
Can you talk a little bit about how the department has changed since you've come here?
Well, there was no department, and it was just a dream with Lucy Sack and I, and we finally got a third person in 1984, by the name of Rebecca Rice Flanagan, who's our first third person. She stayed a year and left. We picked up Della Cowell, C-O-W-E-L-L. She was here 3 years, helped in the initiation of the program, and we opened the doors with three faculty members and about five dance majors. And so that's 1987, so that's 22 years later. We have six full-time faculty, a guest artist position, a visiting professor position, a full-time accompanist, over 100 majors and 40 minors. So I'd say the program's changed a bit.
What buildings did you work in?
Oh, goodness. This I love to talk about, because when I first came here, I played basketball on Saturday afternoon, or Friday afternoons, with the men's basketball team, faculty men's basketball team, in what was known as the McKay Gymnasium, which was the old elementary school gym. It had hoops in it. It had all the stripes and stuff on a basketball floor. It had no heat, no air conditioning, but we would play there. And I thought, wow, you know, as we were growing, I said, that'd make a nice rehearsal space, so we could have this studio up here in the field house. And so we started just rehearsing there. And well, one thing led to another, and I started teaching tap there because I had wood floor. And so with Lucy and I and either Della or whomever, we had this studio in the field house, and we started using it. And then one summer, when they were paving the driveway behind McKay, they paved over a drain or something, and it ruined the floor of the gym. So Lucy and I just happened to have the specs for a new dance floor, and so they put a dance floor in. Well, you can't play basketball on a dance floor. So eventually that became a wonderful studio. I used to teach in West's gym when it was a gymnasium with hoops and lines, and that has slowly become a third space. So I've taught in Fieldhouse, McKay, West Gym. Lecture classes I've taught in both spots, McKay and UCB. I've worked in the theater, in Swoke. There are very few buildings I haven't actually been involved. BSB, I still teach in. So I've gotten around over the few years.
What were your first impressions of campus when you came here?
Fell in love with the place. The reason I took the job was because I fell in love with the people. And I'm from a rural area, so the rural area didn't bother me. I'm an hour from Pittsburgh, 2 hours from Cleveland, 6.5 hours from New York City, so that's an ideal location. And I think I saw that there was a great amount of potential here, a great amount of support for growth. And it was at a perfect time, in the late 70s into the early 80s. And I love the rolling hills of western Pennsylvania. When you grow up in Illinois and it's flat, this is kind of nice. And really, when I was picked up at the airport and I was brought up here for the first night of my interview, I stayed in the great story. I stayed in Harner Hall at the guest room, and no one told me that Harner Hall was an all-girls dorm. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I was wired for my interview, so I went to I went to the study lounge to see if somebody had a catalog or something like that, because I was used to all co-ed dorms. And here's all these girls running around in robes and sweats and things. And I asked this one girl, I said, "Do you have a catalog?" She goes, "Yeah." So she got it. And I talked with all these people for a couple of hours, and then someone told me that it was an all-girls dorm. But even the students who I met were great, and the faculty I met. So that's really the main reason.
Can you talk about your campus activities, maybe union affiliations?
Well, I mean, when I first came here, I'm a member of the union. I'm not a strong union activist. I believe in our union, and I think they've done great things for us. I think probably one of the most proud things of is when I came here, there was a student group called Orchesis, which they called Orchesis. And it was a student-run dance group that put on a show, I guess, every January. And so I met with the officers and said, I'm coming in, I'm new here as part of the job, I'd like to get involved. And so the first night I met with them, there were about 60 students in the Fieldhouse studio. And I said, "Here's what I think." I said, "I think you got to change the name from Orchesis to Dance Theater so people know what we do. I think you need faculty direction of it instead of just a student group. You should start to meet every week, like with a company class, do auditions early, and then lead to the show." And I said, "By your constitution and student government," I said, "you have to elect a faculty advisor. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go away and think about all these things, talk with each other, come back next week, and then you'll decide if that's what you want to do." And so that's the second week here. We changed the name to Slippery Rock Dance Theater, now Slippery Rock University Dance Theater, and it started to take shape at that moment. And we did company classes. We had a group called Tour Group that did a lot of shows in schools and travel. And so that was really one of the most enjoyable. And I can still see some of my impact on that group. I choreographed musicals for the theater department, did some work with the operas. When President Reinhardt was here in the early 80s, we did a Dollars for Scholars faculty staff talent show fundraiser that I emceed for 3 years. I worked with the marching band under Blaise Scarnati's direction. In fact, we did the 1988 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I was a choreographer for. I sang with the band at homecoming in 1978 on the field. Ursula happened to be one of the dancers in the Rocklets at that time. So with a variety of different groups and campus organizations.
What have your accomplishments been here?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't. Helping build the dance major, I think, is most important. We all had a dream, and we worked very hard at it, and when that came true, that was, and you're one of the legacies of that. I mean, there was nothing here, and we worked very, very hard at it. And it wasn't easy by any means. So I think that's a big accomplishment for, to be a part of. I can't say I did it. It was more of a we than an I. I think probably one of my most, I don't know, one of my biggest contributions here has been I'm a high profile person. And so getting visibility out for our program and traveling all over the nation, and that's been a thrill too. And you know, for 31 years I'm still out there. You Googled, you saw it.
Can you talk about some of your outside opportunities the Advanced Department has been able to present you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the University and Advanced Department has always been supportive of our travel, all of us. And so I'm working with a public school right now, Bethel Park High School, with their curriculum. I've taught in, well over 50 or 60 public schools through the Arts Education Program. I teach at festivals and conferences every year. Probably my most rewarding now is teaching at Advanced Teacher Magazine Summer Conference, which is where that's from. That was really exciting. I got invited there 7 years ago, and I'm now on permanent faculty in the summers, which is kind of exciting because it's pretty much a New York City group, and I'm not a New York City person kind of thing. So that's exciting. And then, you know, through the university I got was able to write a grant for the duet that my wife and I do, and that was a real thrill. I mean, to do this beautiful duet choreographed by Billy Siegenfeld, a professional choreographer, and to present it and dance it with my wife is, way cool. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah.
Faculty concert? Yeah. It's even better now.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it then, so it wouldn't matter.
Oh, I saw the videotape of it. We performed it in Pittsburgh in December. Made me cry. And it's like, whoa, so.
It's got a wonderful storyline.
Oh, it really does.
And it reads so well. Can you talk about your best and worst teaching moments?
Yeah, I was looking at the thing that you gave me, the sheets. I can't remember a worst moment. I really can't.
That's a good thing.
Well, I mean, there are some that have been embarrassing moments. I mean, I don't know if I really want to go there, but I went to this is years ago in a jazz class, and I went to say something like strike and hit at the same time, and it didn't come out right. And you know, you shout at the top of your lungs, and then there's 30 people looking at you going, did you really just say that? And I said, no, I don't know. So that's embarrassing, but I don't think it's, I don't remember a bad teaching moment, other than, you know, things don't work, or, you know, technology falls apart, or those sorts of things. But beyond teaching moment, I think even, I had a student, I won't use her full name, but her first name was Christy. She was in my intro to dance class several years ago, and she sat right in the middle with these two other young girls, all freshmen, and I knew from day one that was, these three were going to be, they would have difficulty as we get invaded. I knew they would have difficulty. I could tell by their attitudes, the baseball caps, the low cut. And Christy didn't, I didn't even know her. She did. There was something about her persona that said to me that she did not belong with those two others. And to this end, I don't know why I sensed that, but at the end of the semester, she failed my class, as did all three of them. And she called me up and said, can I come talk to you? And can my father come? I said, sure, bring Dad and come in and sit. Well, she, because of her grades, she was going to be expelled. And her dad came in, and he said she is just has taken such an interest in liking in you and your style of teaching and how you deal with people, but she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I wrote a letter to the dean and the provost, asking her if they would admit her for one semester on a temporary thing, that I would take the responsibility for helping her do whatever. She had one semester. If she doesn't cut it, she's gone. And I said, is that okay with you all? And they said, yeah. Christy is now a director of marketing in one of the major departments at UPMC. That's a teaching moment when you see something. and she invited me to her wedding. She emails me back and forth, and so that's very nice. Another one was Larry Ferrario, who's a freshman phys ed major, who when he was my advisee, and came in with a chip on his shoulder about as big as a log. And he dressed like a slob, and his hair was always uncombed. And he'd come and he'd slouch in the chair and said, "What do you want to take?" He goes, "I don't know." And so I started working with him. He met me every week. Something happened between his sophomore and junior summer. And he came back in and sat down, and he had his hair combed, and his shirt was tucked in. And he said, "TC, I got something for you." I go, "What?" He says, "I'm going to graduate with a 3.0 and have honors." And I said, "Larry, you got a long way to go." And the start of his last semester, before he was student teaching, he had a 3.10. And he said, "I got something else for you." I go, "What's that?" He says, "I want to speak at graduation." He said, "I think I've got something to say." And so we applied for him to be the student speaker, and he was selected as one of the three finalists, but didn't speak. But those are the great moments in teaching. It's just, and there are thousands of them. Great people. I get emails all the time from former students, and that's what's fun.
Who were the leaders when you first came to campus, the movers and the shakers, and what were your impressions of them?
But, you know, that, I was looking at that. in 79, we hired a new president, Herb Reinhardt, R-E-I-H-A-R-D, I think, Reinhardt. Herb period, F period, Reinhardt, comma, junior period. When he signed his signature, it was always Herb period, F period, Reinhardt, comma, junior. Well, so everybody started calling him Herb period, because Herb was short for Herbert. And you talk about a mover shaker. Herb came in and just turned this place around. He brought it really into the 21st century, 20 years earlier. It was Herb who got the university to become a university rather than a state college, because I was hired by Super Rock State College. In fact, I don't know if that... There's a plaque with an award I got somewhere over there from Super Rock State College. By Herb, the President's Award for Outstanding Service. But Herb was just great. I mean, he had a vision, he had guts, he would wander the campus. He knew probably 95% of the students' first names, and he would come up, when I would be in rehearsal at 10 o'clock at night, Herb would walk in and sit down and just watch rehearsal and speak to the students and talk to me. And Herb was always coming up with all kinds of wonderful things and the scholarship programs he started. And I think one of the greatest things about Herb is you knew where you stood. If he was really happy and proud of what you did, he told you. And if he was really disappointed with you or you screwed up, you got called on the carpet and I was there. And he was one of those who yelled at you and said, "You know, you're wrong and you did something really stupid. Now don't do anymore." And that was the end of it. It never went beyond that. So he was one. Another person was the dean of the College of HPER, Health, Phys Ed, Recreation, which is where we were housed. Bill Meise, M-E-I-S-E. Sweetest guy in the world. Wonderful educator, administrator who cared about people and about education. Another one who I have to mention is Dr. Ann Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H-S. If it wasn't for Ann Griffiths, we wouldn't have a department. And the college, she was the most brilliant administrator I've ever seen in my life, and I don't say that very often to people. So those were three that when I first looked at that, I said, yeah, Herb, Bill, and Ann were just so important to the campus and specifically to me and my growth and development.
Were there any major events or activities while you were here? Academic activities, cultural, maybe a building project?
Well, when I first came, SWOPE was brand new. So if you look around, you can tell there's been a few changes in buildings since I've been here. I think during Herb's tenure, there was a lot of, we did a summer celebration where we hosted the Pittsburgh Symphony. They came up and performed the Peter Nero Trio. Hank Williams Jr. performed outside in the tent before he was really, really famous. And there were about 400 people at the concert. I was head usher. I remember vividly that, I can't remember the day right now, but the Challenger, when it blew up and exploded. Obviously 9/11 more recently. In fact, the September 11, 2001 was to be the first ever meeting of the College of Humanities, Fine and Performing Arts. And we went to, I never forget, we went over to Spots or ECB. ECB for the college meeting, and when we got there, we found out what had happened, because a lot of us were here already, and so we just watched television, ate pizza, and hung out. But that was probably the biggest in the early years. Smoke being built. I mean, everything at that end of campus is all brand new. I mean, there was nothing there but fields and flowers and the rec center wasn't there, that was just an open space, and the baseball field wasn't there, that was an open space, and obviously all the new dorms, the new science building, which closes off the quad now, which is okay too. You know, you used to drive in, you saw this whole open space. Yeah, it was amazing when I think about what we had at that time, what we've got now. The dorms, when they first told me they had high-rise dorms, my idea of a high-rise is a high-rise. When, at Illinois State University, we had a, 54-story dorm. Was it 54? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. No, 30-story dorm. And that's a high-rise. And I got here and they said, yeah, we've got high-rise 1 and high-rise 2, which I think was Founders and Sentinel or whatever, I can remember now. And they were 10 stories high. So.
Any other memorable events you'd like to share?
Oh, jeez, all of them. I mean, great event, dance-wise, was when Bob Abersole initiated the President's Award for Outstanding Excellence in various fields. The President's Award for Outstanding Excellence in Business, Outstanding Achievement in Sport, and the first ever presentation. The one he gave to Outstanding Achievement in Sport was to Buck O'Neill, who was a pitcher, and he just died a couple of years ago, a pitcher in the Negro Baseball League. It was awesome. And then the same year he gave the first ever President's Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Arts to the Nicholas Brothers, and they were here on campus. And in fact, Fayard, who was the gregarious one of the bunch, at the convocation that night said, my brother and I love being here and we're going to hang around for another day and visit classes. It happened to be the semester I was teaching tap. And so I saw him and said, are you really coming to my tap class tomorrow? He goes, yeah, that'd be great. It was like teaching in front of God. He didn't get there till late, so I was doing something and we're rehearsing. I turned around, there's Fayard Nicholas in the front row. And so we have, that was a great event. He came to class and we set him on a chair and we gathered around and I have about a 45-minute oral history of the early years, which I need to transcribe and put on the disk and send to the Library of Congress, because it's pretty cool.
What, if anything, do you miss about being at SRU or love about being at SRU since you're still here?
People. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's why I came here, that's why I stay here. People, the freedom. I don't feel I've ever, I shouldn't say ever, but rarely if ever have I felt like someone wants me to do or be what I'm not, because this is who I am and it's what I do. And the love of I just love the students. I mean, you know that. And that's why I teach.
Any words of wisdom for current or future Rock community members?
What did I write? Yeah, I specifically for young faculty members, specifically, as well as students, get to know other people. Go out of your way to know other people. specific other departments. I was fortunate, my first, also goes back to an event, when I first came here, they had this faculty club called Gourmet Club. Once a month, a bunch of us would get together, we have a committee, they would send it out and say, okay, this month we're doing Poland, and your committee is in charge of making the entree, your committee is in charge of the salad, they would send you recipes, a group would be in charge of the wine or the beer or whatever, and then specifically for Poland, Chris and I were in charge, we performed Polish folk dance that evening, and it was there at this Gourmet Club once a month that I got to meet Tony Pagano, who became my landlord in math and dear friend to this day, and his wife, Blaise Scarnati in music, who was, oh, that's another mentor. I mean, Blaise Scarnati, who was director of bands here, was instrumental in my early years here, until his death last year. So I get to know all these people off campus and or across campus outside of my department, and that doesn't happen anymore. We're also busy, we're also compartmentalized, there's no social time. The young faculty, I feel sorry for, even the students, there's no social time. And I go to these meetings and I see these faculty, and it's embarrassing for me too, because I asked this one man at the beginning of the year, I said, are you new here? And he goes, no, I've been here 12 years. Now that's something I would highly recommend to all people who are, is to get to know other people, to be very visible, both on campus and in the community. At times, maybe I'm too visible because I'm a regular at places like Ginger Hill, and everyone knows me there, and I'm over 21. So, and then my last, man, this may, to young faculty and all faculty and students, ignore the garbage, tolerate it. And we have to deal with a lot more than ever. The politics, the committee work, not that this garbage, but there's a lot of stuff that we end up doing that is not part of teaching, which is what we're hired to do. And you have to tolerate that and go forward with your life and teach and change the world. When it says there, how would I like to be remembered? I would like to be remembered that maybe I did change the world in a little bit, or some people, someplace, and somehow.
Anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
No, I'm starting to think seriously about retirement, though, in 2013, yeah. And I think I'd miss most your office. I love this place.
Okay, well, that's it for today. We're going to wrap up, and I want to thank you very much for participating in our interview today.